Hello, and welcome to the monthly comic spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mann. In this episode, we'll be talking about some of the comics we got this month. We'll start with DC, we'll go over to Marvel, and then we'll cover the other publishers. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll cover general plot points and storylines of the comics we discuss. In this monthly comic spotlight, I'm joined by James, and we're going to discuss some of the comics we got in December 2023. James, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you doing, John?
I am doing well. I am, I think, caught up on my reading as of the end of the year.
Congratulations.
We're second week of January, so we're on the 9th, so obviously I haven't read the first week of January's books, and I've switched to monthly shipping. I haven't gotten them or the second weeks. So I'm not counting those things. And there may be a few things here and there that I just, you know, either got confused in my bookkeeping or something like that and haven't read, but I think I've read most stuff.
That's cool. So you'll be ready for the yearly comic spotlight.
Yeah, I still need to put my picks together, and I don't think I'm the only one. We've had, I think, 4 people submit last I looked.
Yeah, I have to get all mine together, too. I started it up, but didn't get very far.
Now, if you're listening to this and you have not done your picks, stop listening and do them immediately, because we're going to be recording like the day after this comes out.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, last chance.
And if you've put off listening to this for a day or two, oops, too late. But I've had the deadline up there on the website, and I've mentioned it numerous times over the last couple of months. So, you know.
Yeah. And I've told everyone in the Slack, so they got to know by now.
I would hope so. And if not, and there's something I could do to be getting the word out better, let me know. Because I try to do that, but, you know, can only do so much.
Yeah.
Well, shall we dive into DC?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. I'm going to filter my list right now, where I actually had 20 DC comics.
I had a fair number. I think I had... Man, I've lost count how many I've had. What got me with this month wasn't so much how many I had, but how many of them were part of this Titans Beast World stuff.
Yeah, a lot of Beast World. I didn't get all the spinoffs, but I remember in the solicits, there was a ton of them.
I got most, if not, I don't think I got all of them, but I got almost all of them.
Yeah, the main Beast World I was enjoying, but yeah, you'll have to tell me how you like those side stories, because I think that's why it trimmed it down for me. I've also, this year for 2024, I guess you could say my New Year's resolution is to not get the miniseries. You know, like the little 5-issue series stuff that we've been getting from the publishers. I can't promise that, but most of them I'm going to just stay away from.
Yeah, I need to trim my reading a little, because as I was going through the December books, there was a lot of them. It's like, yeah, it's all right. I mean, it's not, some of these just aren't bad, but they aren't great.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am. And we have questions, and I know we're going to record separately for that. But specifically around that, I think reading an excessive amount of comics kind of highlights the things that you don't like as much. And when they're kind of strung out and you're reading a weekly shipment every so often, you don't realize maybe how many things you're not really enjoying until you kind of crammed them all together and you're reading to catch up.
Yeah, I would agree with that entirely.
Yeah, because I felt it. I'm caught up now, but I really did feel it over those last couple months.
Yeah. Well, and I think some of it is reading them in rapid succession highlights a few things, and some of it is some of the comics just aren't that great.
Yeah, that's really it. I've been, and I think we've said this before, we've been doing back issue spotlights on Warlord. Mm-hmm. We've been done Astro City, and then our book club, we were just doing The Nom, which is like a 80s, you know, Vietnam War era comic. And it makes me long for comics like that, because I'm reading them today as a 50-year-old guy, and I still enjoy that stuff more than a lot of the things I get today, because they were stories. You could pick it up and at issue 7 and read it. And I feel like you can't do that now, because you're getting little snippets. And with my ADHD, it just doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm having some of that, because there were a couple where by the time I'd get back to something, it's like, where did this leave off? And do I care?
Yeah. It's that's sometimes I remember I would get a book like Justice Society of America, for example. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I know I like this. It's written well. It's good. I can't remember what's going on, because I can't remember from the last time the issue came out. And then it just leads to frustration. You never want to be frustrated when you're reading a comic, but I'm frustrated.
Well, you should never feel like it's a memorization test or something like that.
Exactly. What's going on again here? I don't know.
Yeah. All right, so what's your first pick for this month?
All right, my first pick, I'm going to go, and I'm looking at my list, Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong, number 3.
Good pick.
I really do enjoy this series. It's kind of like, it's something you would expect to be cheesy, but it's cheesy in all the right ways. So you got a fight is raging all over Metropolis. You know, everyone and their brothers called in to fight Godzilla as Superman's taking a whipping at some point. Mm-hmm. He appears to be down and out. I was surprised to find out that the Bat Creature is kind of captured in Sydney and Gotham. So that kind of surprised me a little bit, but we're going with that. But I like seeing the other characters show up to help out with Godzilla. That was kind of cool. And then you have that ramp up where the kaiju seem to be getting called away from Themyscira and all these different areas. And you're like, uh-oh, that's not good. Where are they being called to? And then you finally get Kong, you know, a flash of King Kong.
Finally, yeah.
Here we are, the third issue. We only get like a few pages, but at least I'm like, there he is. And it was so funny because the classic King Kong, which you and I know so well, where he's kind of like mesmerized by this blonde girl, mm-hmm. and a blonde lady, and, you know, taking her up the Empire State Building. You almost have that moment with Supergirl, but it ended in a way that made me just totally laugh. And literally, I thought it was funny. So just to how that all played out, it was hilarious.
I'm enjoying the series, and it was good that we finally got King Kong. I just didn't feel he was featured that much versus, like, just being another one of the monsters.
Yeah, right now, he's just a prop piece. It's like, oh, here's the hairy kaiju versus all the lizards and different things we got going on over here. But yeah, he's definitely not featured. He's more like a side character. And in the movie, they made him like the hero kaiju versus Godzilla. You're definitely not getting that here.
I think if you're going to do a Kong versus Godzilla, you've got to do it where you've got two different sides, and Kong's the hero for one of them, and Godzilla's the hero for the other one, and neither's necessarily more right or wrong than the other.
Yeah.
Because both of them have been the monsters of their movies and the heroes of their movies.
Exactly. Sometimes Godzilla's helping humanity fight off the, I can't remember the one with the multiple heads, the kaiju that wants to kill everyone. But yeah, he's helped out humanity, and so has King Kong. And at the same time, yeah, like you said, they also come in and stomp Tokyo, or they're stealing a lady and climbing up the
Empire State Building. Yeah.
Exactly. So they've both been good and bad. But I like to see them in more of a heroic sense. I know that sounds weird, but I like to see the good monster. And we have not seen that yet. We've seen the good people.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I did think this one ended on a moment where it's like you're not fooling anybody. You're claiming one thing, and it ain't going to be the case. I know this. So
yeah.
Who are you kidding?
I agree with you there completely.
I was just overplaying their hand. It was a good read, and I don't fault them for doing what they did, but it's, yeah.
There is that.
So I'm looking forward to the remainder of the series, but I was hoping for a little bit more than we've gotten so far.
Yeah, it's very decompressed, and I was surprised it took until issue 3 to get King Kong in the episode. And is he just Kong? He's not King Kong anymore. I guess he's not a king. He's been demoted.
I don't know. I guess
he's lost his crown.
I don't know.
I still call him King Kong. But
I call him King Kong because that was the first movie, but I think it's just Kong.
Just Kong.
Yeah. Either way, I felt not only should we have gotten him before now, he should have played a bigger part, and it should have been clear he was not just another one of the kaiju.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they seem to be taking the approach in here of the modern take on them, which is understandable, the movies, and there's another movie that's going to be coming out. But yeah, just seeing him fighting the creatures on the island, you're like, okay, we're going that direction, which is cool. It's just a little different than like the old-fashioned King Kong, which is, I'm not going to say one way is better than the other. They're both very good, but the old one is the more nostalgic because I saw him when I was a little kid.
I guess the way I would have played it, if you're going to have all these other kaiju, you know, you've got various Justice Leaguers and other heroes out fighting those. You've got Godzilla, and oh, that's the big one.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you finally get Kong, it should be, no, now we've got a second big one to worry about.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, it's the others are nuisances and problems. These guys, however, you know, and I didn't feel that way in this issue.
Yeah, and I do like the approach they took in the movies when Kong becomes the hero and like, hey, almost like an understanding with the people, I'm going to take these guys out, or the other creatures mm-hmm. out. Don't worry, I'm on your side. Not without even verbalizing it, just through communicate with the eyes and out his actions.
Yeah, yeah. So, cool.
But good series. What's your first pick?
I'm going to go with Batman, Santa Claus, Silent Night, 1 through 4.
Oh, I did not get that. So you got four issues. This explains why you got so many.
All right. Four. It was weekly.
Wow.
And it establishes Santa is real in the DCU, which is not a huge surprise. Batman trained with him. Little bit of a surprise.
So he's not the big tubby guy.
He kind of is.
Okay.
They never say what he trained Batman in, but I'm assuming getting in and out of places, things of that sort, maybe?
Okay.
I mean, it leaves it to the imagination, which I think was the right move. We get some backstory on Santa and Krampus.
Cool.
Over the course of the story, Superman gets possessed, because, I mean, you gotta have that. And I felt it pretty much landed the ending in the final issue. A couple of more heroes dropping by, but like at the last minute for, you know, it's like, hey, the battle's over. I guess you're just here for the celebration at the end. And there were a couple of characters that just, I don't know why they were in the story, but it's like, sure, why not? Let's have Blue Beetle and a few other random people here and there. It was good. I'm not going to say it was brilliant. And part of that was having just read Claws not long ago.
Yeah.
I didn't think this was as good as that, but it was solid. And it was better than most weekly miniseries tend to be.
Ah, very cool. Well, if it was that good, maybe we can review it next Christmas in 2020, or this is 2024, if it's worthy of that. We'll see.
Either that, or we can continue the Claws stuff and maybe slate this for down the line or something.
Yeah, I like the Claws stuff, so yeah, let's do that.
Cool. What's your second one?
Okay, for my second one, I think I'm going to choose Green Lantern number 6. And I have been enjoying this Green Lantern run. You get this one was pretty much an awesome fight issue between Hal and Sinestro.
Mm-hmm.
And Sinestro's tapped into, let's say, a different side of himself. I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't read it. But you know what I mean by that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He's tapped into that. And I think this book has fantastic art and colors too. And when you're doing a Green Lantern book, you need to have good art and you need to have a fantastic colorist with yes. all the rainbow colors that are going on. And so I think they're nailing it here, which is really fun. And I thought the backup was horrible with the two little kids. Was it the two little kids?
Well, yeah. Are you planning on getting Sinister Sons?
I think I picked up the first issue and that backup story almost made me regret maybe pre-ordering the first issue.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same way?
I did not pre-order it because it's like, I like the Super Sons, but I have no affinity for these two kids, one of which I think is original for this property of Sinister Sons, because I don't remember Sinestro having a kid before. And we've seen Zod's son before, but okay.
Yeah.
And the cartooniness of it drove me nuts.
That's what it is. It's a cartooniness and it's building up towards, I think, that new miniseries. And based on this, I'm like, I'm regretting my picks. And I don't know if I pre-ordered one or two issues. I can't remember what's been solicited, but I'm pretty sure I'm out on that at the next. Well, I know I'm out on that on the next order form.
Yeah. Yeah. The backup's not working for me. I'm getting a little annoyed with the DC backups that are clearly trying to pre-sell us on an upcoming property. But yeah. The timing is such that often we've already had to make the decision if we're pre-ordering.
Yep.
So that wasn't working for me. And this issue ended on a bit of a reveal.
Yes.
Of something happened and it's all Hal's fault. And I'm like, yeah, is it really?
Yeah.
And I think they're building towards something going on with the emotional spectrum.
That's what I'm curious to see, what they're doing there.
Yeah. And it could be really good, but
it could flop.
It could flop.
That's where I am. It's like, it's a 50-50 proposition. It could be something awesome, and it depends on how they do it.
Yeah, yeah. Because, again, they've cut Hal off from the rest of the core, from going in space. There's the old dark secret kind of, you know, something that happened between volumes sort of thing. We've seen that done to death over at Marvel and stuff. It never usually works well for me.
Yep.
And with the Green Lantern property, you're going up against all of the world building and stuff that Geoff Johns did, building up the emotional spectrum, creating the Sinestro Corps, you know, Darkest Night, all of those things, which are some really great moments of the overall DC universe.
Yeah.
So it's a high bar to reach for. If they can do it, that'd be awesome.
I agree. And this is a weird thing as a newer DC reader. I still consider myself newer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When this book is done right, Green Lantern is typically my favorite comic from DC. And so I've been enjoying this run. I wouldn't say it's like top shelf Green Lantern, but I feel like the property is there to mesmerize someone like me as a reader. It's a ton of fun when it's written well. I love the idea of these different groups and competing and facing off against each other, and almost the politics that go along with the superpowers, if you will. So this whole thing works for me, and I'm just hoping they do it well, because I need a good Green Lantern book. I kind of got off the whole property when Grant Morrison took it over, and never really went back until now. And they're starting to hook me in again. Please do it justice. That's all I'm hoping.
Well, it's one of those things where during the Geoff Johns era, it proved this could be a top-tier DC property.
Yeah.
And if you look at a lot of the books they've got out there have been various runs that really put particular books on the map, showing that it's not a bad property. It's just you got to have the right person with the right take on it at the right time. Mm-hmm. And I feel so many of their books kind of don't quite have that right now.
Yeah, it's true. And what's funny is that I feel like this is not a DC problem. It's a lot of comics problem, where I feel like I'm feeling that with Marvel too a little bit. So I'm hoping for better things, but at the same time, it's a little worrisome with the enjoyment level and the percentage of books that I'm really enjoying.
Yeah, and I'd put Green Lantern here kind of on the bubble of, it's certainly not bad. It's got some really good stuff, but it's not brilliant.
I understand what you mean. Like, I go back to Venditti and Johns, that's way better.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just a sucker for Green Lantern when it's done well. And there's been a few issues where I'm like, it's okay, but I've been enjoying this one. And the Green Lantern War Journal has taken a downturn for me, unfortunately, recently.
I skipped on that one entirely.
Yeah, this issue was not very good. So what's your next pick?
My next pick is, let's go with Green Arrow.
Green Arrow, that's been a good book too. It's been solid. This is the one that I think I spoiled a little bit, where I told you I felt like it was meant to be a new miniseries.
Well, we got two issues. We got 6 and 7, technically, this month.
Yes, we did.
Again, we talked a little, I think, last time about 6. You know, didn't get it and on a clean note. And then sure enough, this is the start of a second arc in number 7. I'm still enjoying it, but it did feel like they'd kind of repositioned a bit.
Completely. I felt like this was a new miniseries when I was reading. It's like, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, and I think not only a new miniseries, but one that was expected to have a month or two pause between.
Yes, that's exactly how I felt, because it was almost like laying the table for you at issue 7, but there was nothing solicited saying new jumping on point or anything like that.
Well, I kind of figure issue 7 is start of a second trade, so they're going to do that and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Which, on the one hand, I think is good. On the other hand, I think they should always be doing that to where it doesn't stand out every 6 months.
That's true. It stood out to me.
6 issues, I should say. Yeah. And sometimes it's optimistic to get those in 6 months, but, you know, whatever.
That's true.
I mean, this is, I think, some of Joshua Williamson's better stuff.
Yeah.
And it's good Green Arrow stuff. It's not the best we've ever had, but it's working for me, so I'm liking that.
Yeah, that's how I feel a lot about a lot of the books right now. It's not the best, it's not great, but it's good enough to keep reading. That's where I am with a lot of stuff. Not tons of it, but a lot of it. Like, Green Arrow's good enough.
Well, and that's interesting, because, I mean, I'd love for it to be the best the title's ever been, but I don't expect that. That's unrealistic.
Yeah.
If we get one or two titles over the month that's that way, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But even that's probably a little unrealistic.
Yeah.
But then there's good and good enough to keep reading. And that's where I'm starting to differentiate some stuff these days. Because there's one or two things I've got, it's like, you know, I might need to drop this title. And Green Arrow's not one of those. There are other titles that fall into that category.
Possibly Green Lantern for you.
No, not so much that. I was thinking more Flash.
Yeah, that's where I am. I think I'm pulling the cord on Flash. I was not enjoying it.
This isn't one of my picks, but just to get into it for a minute, it was more wacky kind of quote-unquote science stuff. It was really kind of trippy artwork in some places. It just was not my cup of tea. And I'm like, you know, I've been reading The Flash off the rack for forever and a day. And I'm thinking maybe I should drop this title.
Yeah, I'm dropping The Flash. And ever since Flash has been coming out, since I've been reading DC, I've received every issue. And I'm thinking about canceling it. And the other one is Amazing Spider-Man is not going to be on this month for me. I know you already dropped it. But and that's one that it's like you don't even think about. You just reflexively get it, you know? Oh, it's Amazing Spider-Man. Boom. I'm not going to be doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and for me, so many of the DC and Marvel titles were that way, and then it got to the point where they're not.
Yeah.
And I think as much as creators and publishers need to go after new readers, it is as important or probably more important to sustain the readers they've got. Because once you've become a lapsed reader, there's a reason you became a lapsed reader. And I think that's a higher threshold to get over to get somebody who left the book back on the book.
Yeah, because when I lapsed, I lapsed from comics at a point. It was years before I came back. Mm-hmm. And it literally, the saving grace of the comics industry for me coming back was probably the Walking Dead TV show. Mm. And when are we getting another one of those? Not soon, I don't think. You know, I could be wrong.
I think you're right, because I think we're at a point where the general, you know, zeitgeist is thinking that we're kind of past the superhero bubble or whatnot. It's now like the Western. It'll always be around, but it's past its heyday or something.
Yeah, I feel that.
And whether that's true or not, enough people are going to feel that way that it will become true, I think.
Yeah, it's like thinking it into existence.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah. All right, my last pick?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to pick World's Finest 22, which I did enjoy. I thought this issue was a ton of fun.
Mm-hmm.
They're still trapped in the world of Kingdom Come, the characters. So, you know, they went after that one character.
Have you read Kingdom Come?
I read it a long time ago. Those were like two of the first DC things I read was Kingdom Come and, oh, what is that big event? I can't think of it. Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Those are not the first things you should read of DC.
No, and people were telling me, this is great, this is great. And so I read it and I was like, this is horrible. And I think I need to reread it now because it didn't work at all for me when I first read it.
Let's put that on the list to do either as a back issue spotlight or something for the book club, or possibly both.
Yeah, book club would be down to do it, I imagine. Or, yeah, both. That would work.
Because it's four issues. They're all at least 48 pages, I think. I don't remember. And there's a lot of, you know, kind of potential Easter egg-y type things to discuss if people want to or not.
Yeah.
But I think to appreciate Kingdom Come, you need to be a little more steeped in the DC universe than just coming at it new.
Exactly. And it's one of those early things. People kept telling me, read this and this. It's the best. And I read it and I was just like, my head was kind of spinning a little bit. I was like, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. So definitely not new reader friendly, I would say. That's what I remember. But that was years ago.
To me, it's not a matter, is it not new reader friendly? I just think it's something that to fully appreciate.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if the first time you ever hear somebody play the piano, it's a virtuoso.
Yeah.
You just think, oh, they're playing the piano.
That's it. Yeah, okay,
you
cool.
You got nothing to do the barometer against, you know? Whereas with Kingdom Come, I mean, Alex Ross, terrific artist. Mark Waid was at, you know, the top of his game, as he often is, I think, as a creator and such. But if you don't have the context of what they're riffing on in terms of the DC character and the Image era around that time, where those heroes were more kind of dystopic and as much causing problems as solving problems, that it was kind of, you know, well, what if the DC universe became that way?
Yeah.
And if you don't have that context, you can get into it, you can understand it, but can you fully appreciate it? I'm not so sure.
That's where I think I was. I read it and it was a story, but I don't think I got any layers in there at all.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm completely open to it. But back to this one, like I like that we got a lot of backstory on, is it Magog, the coming to power? I really like the character. I think we saw him. Was he in the Wonder Woman movie, I think? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
I think he was, but the one from a while back.
It would have been the second one, yeah.
Yeah, I think he was in there, but I like seeing him come to power. I thought that was really cool. And the heroes of this world are being manipulated and don't trust their counterparts. And Batman, you know, like, kind of interesting how that's all playing out. Batman and Superman are just learning of the theoretical multiverse as this is happening, you know, so it's kind of cool because what Mark Waid's doing with his stories is these stories are almost in continuity, but they're not in current continuity.
Yeah.
And with him knowing so much, I don't know if that's because that's what he wants to do and that's all he wants to do, or he doesn't want to be like, I don't want to fix this mess, or I don't know what it is, but he's strictly focused on periods of time in the past, and maybe that's his happy spot with DC. I just don't know. It's just kind of weird that he's not writing anything current, you know?
I think if you write something current, you're getting sucked into the Beast World sort of events and things like that.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Whereas if you do a period piece book like this, which is admittedly a little unusual to have happen in Marvel and DC, you're able to kind of work around those sort of events or play with them with the full hindsight of what did happen, both then and afterwards. But it also is allowing him to kind of reset and redefine the backstory of DC.
That's true. Yeah.
And he's one of the best people to do that.
He's doing a terrific job with it.
His stories work for me, and he's got an encyclopedic knowledge of the DC universe.
Yeah, and I thought this World's Finest, this arc, I've been enjoying, where they're going to Kingdom Come World, I'll call it, or Earth, whatever that is.
I'm enjoying it a lot, and I'm hoping Wade and Mora stay on the book for a while, because they're working really well together.
Yeah, they're collaborating really well, and it's good output coming from them.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, what's your final pick?
I'm going to go with Titans/Titans Beast World, because it all kind of muddles together and such.
Okay, cool.
And I read a good couple of issues of Titans Beast World in terms of, we've got the issue of it that came out, but then there was the Central City World Tour, the Gotham one, the Metropolis one, and the Waller Rising one shot. Then there was the Evolution one that was kind of reprinting some of the old Beast Boy stuff. And some of these, particularly a lot of those one shots, are such anthologies.
Yeah.
In all the wrong ways.
Oh, I'm lucky I didn't get any of those. I just got the main thing.
Oh, there were one or two of them where it was just chaotic.
Oh.
And in a few places, the art just didn't work for me.
That sounds horrible. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like go 8 pages and then a sharp left turn and another sharp left turn after that, you know, kind of a deal.
You're like, is this the same comic?
Well, they're disconnected short stories all orbiting Beast World and stuff. And I'm having problems with the premise of Beast World. And then some of that comes back to just kind of the way Tom Taylor is writing the Titans title. Because the whole Flash is dead and we've got a week to save him just kind of got pushed aside until it was addressed and swept under the rug. And it's like, wait a sec, what you did there, didn't that cause a paradox? So how did the whole series start if you just cut it off at the knees there and stuff?
Yeah.
And then some of the craziness with Beast War on top of it, it's just, I don't know, not working for me.
Well, I'll tell you what, the first issue of Titans Beast World, I enjoyed. I thought that was cool, you know, that whole, I can't remember, I'm going off memory because I don't have the notes up from last month, but it was like a creature, you know, from another planet.
Well, it was essentially Starro the Conqueror and
exactly.
His evil twin or whatever.
His evil twin, so you see Starro's going to be the hero and come back and save the day, and you get those spores, and I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool, this is different. Has nothing to do with Titans kind, really, but all right. And then it was, you're just kind of doing this whole thing. And at the same time, we got Titans issue number 6, and I really didn't enjoy that. And coming out of this, I'm thinking, right at this point, Titans is a book I really don't want to get anymore. That's how I feel.
I was disappointed with the reveal of Brother Eternity's identity.
Okay, yeah.
And that was something they've been going on for the 6 issues and stuff. I didn't like the twist they did with the Flash, quote-unquote, death and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is another one where I'm debating, should I still be getting this?
Yeah. I would say he's doing a better job on Nightwing than Titans. And Nightwing has gotten a little weird, you know, with the swashbuckling aspect. But, I mean, it's cool. Finally, we get to a, you know, where he got into the vault and found out the secret.
Yeah.
There's
it's
that.
Fun, though, is the thing. I mean,
it is.
I loved the, you know, an issue or two back, Nightwing gets decked out as a pirate or whatever, and they're like, didn't you see the clothes in the cupboard? And I'm like, no, I saw the chest. I opened the chest. This is what was in the chest, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. It was fun.
That works versus this is not working Titans, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
Very weird, huh? Same writer.
Yeah. Well, same writer and one of the same characters.
Yeah. One of the leads in Titans, yeah, you would think. But it feels weird. I think he's better with writing a character than a team of characters at this point.
He is, but the problem I'm having with Tom Taylor's writing over on Nightwing is it is all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, characters he set up a while back we've barely come back to.
Yeah. Heartless is still a thing. And when did Heartless first get introduced?
Well, I mean, there was all the buildup on the mayor and the politics of Bloodhaven, and we haven't really dealt with that in better part of a year, I think.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I've forgotten about it until you just mentioned it now. That's how long it's been.
So I've been a little disappointed by some of that.
Yeah, and I can understand. Just frustrating with the writing.
Yeah. Anything else on DC?
Let's go over to Marvel. I'm filtering my list. And in Marvel, I did receive 32 comics, but some of these things are going to get whacked. Just so you know.
I've got a couple of things that are no longer to be on my list because, well, they're ending.
Ah, Which ones are ending?
Alpha Flight.
Oh, yeah.
Iceman. A lot of the Fall of X type stuff.
The minis. Yeah, yeah.
Uncanny Spider-Man.
I was still getting Amazing Spider-Man, and I was seeing it through the Gang War thing. I'm like, oh, that's a good jumping off point at the end of Gang War, which is not very good. But I did pick up a few of the minis just to see how they would do, because I like Daredevil, so I got Daredevil Gang War, because we didn't get a cop issue of Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
Eh, not very good. And I got the Deadly Hands of Kung Fu, which I did enjoy.
Oh, good.
Which was part of the Gang War, but there's that.
Yeah, I skipped all that.
So what do you want to pick for your first pick of Marvel? I'll let you go first this time.
I'm going to go with Immortal X-Men number 18.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was the end of the series, wasn't it? Or I don't know. Is it?
I think so. I don't think I have any more on order.
Yeah, I think it's done. That was it. It was decent for the ending.
It was. We got a twist on some of what was going on with Sinister and stuff. It's like it made sense. I don't know if they really set it up. But then when I was reading it, I don't think I realized that was the end of the series. Because it seems like that should go somewhere, and I don't recall them pointing me towards where I should go next.
Yeah, I don't know if they did not set that up, because it almost read like it wasn't the last issue, and I was like, I'm pretty sure this is the last issue, so it's very bizarre.
I don't have anything else on order, so...
Yeah, I'm pulling up Collector Z, because sometimes that'll give me a cue if anything's coming back or coming afterwards, and yeah, 18 is it. It's done. I think what they left it towards is... How? What is it called?
Rise of the Powers of X or something?
Yeah, whatever the new thing is. That's the next thing to read in this.
Yeah.
Whatever that's going to be. Because this was Kieran Gillen, so he's writing one of those books.
I just hope they do a really good job giving us information on the X titles after the Fall of X.
Yeah, I would agree. And for January, some of those books have already come out, and I've read them, but I'm not going to... discuss them now. I read ahead by accident, so sorry about that.
Well, I mean, there's some stuff that's happening during the Fall of X, but then there's the whole Brevoort era.
Yes.
I'm expecting new creative teams, new titles, all that kind of stuff. That's where I may decide to pull back a little on the X titles, or I may do that between now and then. I don't know.
I think I'm going to pull back myself. And did you hear the whole scuttlebutt behind that?
No.
Okay. What they were trying to line up and what Rob Liefeld alluded to, they after this whole Krakoa era, they were trying to bring Jim Lee in as a creator in the X titles.
And I don't see how they think they could realistically do that, given he's, you know, the head honcho at DC. It'd be a hell of a coup.
Yeah, apparently he's looking to dip out of that. I don't know what's happening. This was off Rob Liefeld's thing. He's like, I expect them to be on X books in the future at some point, but it didn't work out this time. I was like, that would have been really cool. I was like, don't float that out there, Rob. Oh, I was kind of frustrated. It would have been awesome. And I guess I don't know. Maybe he's not happy doing what he's doing. Something's gone awry. I don't know.
Or maybe he's itching to get back on the creative side versus the business side.
Yeah, because he hasn't done, all he does is operations right now. That's got to be boring.
So if Jim Lee were to exit DC and the day after they announce and he's on the major X book or whatever, that would have been a really big deal. It will still be if it ever happens, but now we know to expect it.
Exactly. That would have been really cool.
So somebody spoiled the news, potentially.
Yeah, Rob Liefeld did on his podcast. So funny.
That's funny.
Yeah. So anyways, there you go.
So what's your first pick?
Okay, my first pick, I'm going to go with, Incredible Hulk number 7. I know it's books you didn't read, sorry.
It's okay.
This one, the series has been really enjoyable for me. When the Hulk is good, I really love it. This is not the best Hulk, but it's decent. There's a little bit of a horror vibe while not overdoing it. Like in the past, we had some where it kind of got really into the horror, but it is there. And there's a resolution of a fight between the Hulk and what I can only refer to as the Mexican Ghost Rider. And I'm not talking about Robbie Reyes. They go to this little town, and it's like this little overweight guy with a motorcycle kind of has the spirit of vengeance, and he's like, he's the Ghost Rider, and starts fighting against the Hulk because he kind of gets a warning and turns into the Ghost Rider when anyone comes to bring harm to the little girl in this family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the Hulk that's doing it, it's another character, so they kind of team up. But then they start talking about this new Ghost Rider book coming in the future. I'm like, I wonder if he was already revealed here. Maybe it'll be this Mexican Ghost Rider, I don't know. But it's a fun read. It's building up towards who's creating all these obstacles and bringing these horrors to life that are kind of fighting with the Hulk. And so I'm on board for it. I like the little character that's traveling along with the Hulk along this adventure. And it's just a ton of fun. We're going to find out what the source of all the evils in this world.
I doubt it. There's a lot of evil in the Marvel Universe.
That's true.
They got to fight somebody in all these issues.
There will never be a solution to the evil. Yeah, the source of evil. There'll be more.
Actually, I think that would be a hilarious event to do.
Just have them find the real source.
The heroes win. There is peace on Earth. What are you going to do with all these Avengers, X-Men, Spider-Men, etc.?
Yeah, they're frustrated. There's only so much beer drinking we can do sitting around the campfire.
Only so many cats we can get out of trees, that sort of thing.
Oh my gosh, just total boredom. That'd be funny.
Would be hilarious.
All right, on to your second pick.
I'm going to go with Superior Spider-Man number 2.
Actually, I've been enjoying this. I like it too.
It's a fun read. It's still paying off the original Superior Spider-Man run from years and years ago.
Yeah.
What floors me about this is Otto hasn't suited up as the Superior Spider-Man yet in this book.
That's the thing that floors me too a little bit. It's more like the persona comes through with the tentacles or something. So, that's a little bit different for me. But I'll tell you what, I'm really happy revisiting Slott's Superior Spider-Man and seeing like Marconi. I think that's her name, Marconi, the little person.
Anna Maria, yeah.
Anna Maria, I had forgotten about her. And then we saw her again. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember her. She's like such a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And like didn't realize she's with a bad person, but not really a bad person. But you know what I mean? It's just how it worked out.
Has Anna Maria ever met Aunt May?
I can't remember for the life of me back then if they did.
I want to see those two meet at some point.
That would be cool.
Because both of them were lovers of Otto.
Yes, that would be funny. Yeah.
Be quite hilarious.
That'd be cool. But I love that world. I think it's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to see Peter working against the Electro-type character. I can't remember the character's name, which is fun.
Yeah, they're doing some fun stuff here. And Mark Bagley's doing some great art. Dan Slott, again, planted so many seeds back when they killed off Peter and went to the Superior Spider-Man. And the fact that there's still more fertile ground for them to go into, I'm loving that.
Me too. And I'm happy that this book is out, and I'm happy that we're getting Ultimate Spider-Man, because apparently it's getting rave reviews. I even posted that on the Slack channel. Mm-hmm. I haven't read it. I don't have it, but it's on the way. I pre-ordered it. But I need that replacement because I am dropping Amazing Spider-Man, and I do love the character. I love the Superior Spider-Man, and maybe I'll have a chance to love the Ultimate Spider-Man, because the Spider-Man stuff I've been getting in the other, it's just not very good.
Yeah.
I would say it's very bad.
So I'm hoping Ultimate Spider-Man's good too. I'm looking forward to that. I'd like a good spider book.
Me too. So fingers crossed.
So what's your next one?
All right. I'm debating. There was a couple that I could have done. Which one are you picking for your last one? Just so I don't want to pick the same one.
I'm going to go with Thunderbolts.
Okay. Thunderbolts. Well, I will go with... Okay. I'm going to go with Immortal Thor number 5, which you wouldn't have picked anyways, because I know you're not getting that. I was thinking of
Why did you ask?
I was thinking of going with Timeless, and I'm like, nah, I rated Immortal Thor better, higher.
Okay, I can understand that. I was a little disappointed with Timeless this year.
I was. It's more just the kind of like, it's that's the thing. A preview of the future that I do not want any part of. Okay. But okay, Immortal Thor number 5. We get this battle that's continuing between Tyrannos, who is the elder god of thunder, and what I can only deem as, and this is a little bit spoilerly, the Thor Corps. It's not like the Thor Corps from back when Hickman, you know, did that book. Remember the Thor, the whole
Corps? There was a Thor Corps back in, I want to say, the 80s or 90s.
Yeah, I was thinking more of the Battle World or the Secret. Yeah, whatever that was, where they had the whole police force of them. But basically, they kind of did some, what I call some jiggering with the Thor powers. So if I have the Thor hammer, I'm worthy and I have the power, and I pass the hammer off to you, and now you take on the powers of Thor because you're worthy. Apparently, me being the old holder of the hammer, I keep the powers for so many minutes. Does that make sense?
Well, it used to be that Thor would keep the powers for 60 seconds after he was not in contact with the hammer.
So
that would mean you're passing the hammer around a lot pretty fast.
Yeah, there's a lot of passing around the creative Thor.
So a tag team Thor at that point.
Yes, that's what we're going with, to take on this character, the old elder god. So that's what's going on here. And it's kind of a fun fight, but then it turns almost into a puzzle about how do you beat the god, you know, because that only goes so far, you know, that kind of keeps things in check. So it's almost like a little bit of a video game. How do you beat the boss character? What's the puzzle? And I like the riddle. You know, it took a little bit of a, the one thing I didn't like is it almost took on a Wonder Woman, an ambassador of peace and love type thing, which that is like, ugh, all right.
That doesn't work for you, I think, yeah.
Not with Thor.
No.
So I'm like, okay, I like the drunken drinking his flag in a veil and smashing things, but okay, he's mature. But it's still a good run of Thor. It's not a Simonson, it's not an Aaron, it's not an early Cates run, but it's decent and it's enough to keep me reading it.
Cool.
Yeah, so I'm on for the long run as long as I can't remember who's writing. I think it's Dugan. I honestly can't remember for the life of me.
Yeah, I didn't get it, so don't know.
Yeah, okay. On to your last pick.
My last pick is Thunderbolts.
Thunderbolts, I did get that. What did you think?
I think I need to drop it.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was like, my thing is time to cancel. That's my note on Thunderbolts. It wasn't good. I remember that.
It, I think, existed because at one point the Thunderbolts movie was going to be coming out about now, so they wanted to be able to tie into that. It's got a very movie-ish lineup of characters, and it's got no real relationship to any of the previous Thunderbolt teams.
Nope.
And I really liked the original Thunderbolts, when it was essentially the Masters of Evil disguised as heroes so they could get in good and, you know, and some of them actually reformed. It was actually some really good stuff.
Yeah.
It was Fabian Eitz. No, it was Kurt Busiek originally, actually, but then later I think it was Fabian. This just looks like it's a anti-hero hit squad almost.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is, and it wasn't written well. I didn't like it, the team up. I was just like, I read it and I was just like, my note is time to cancel.
Yep.
And that's what I put when I don't want to read this and I don't even want to talk about it.
For me, I mean, it was okay at best. I think there are going to be people who really like it. I'm not one of them, and it's certainly not essential reading for me, so it does not need to stay on my list.
Well, I'm not one of them either, so it won't be on mine.
Yeah, but it's disappointing when I got something that I thought could have been decent or good or whatever, and it's like, yep, skip it.
Yeah. Hey, you freed up a little bit of time and a little bit of money.
Exactly. That time and money could be spent on better things.
Yes.
So, anything else on Marvel?
One other thing on Marvel. I will tell you one of the travesties of Gang War, because I'm still getting the Amazing Spider-Man. Okay, they have a big garish yellow map at the beginning of every issue of Gang War. It doesn't matter if you're getting the Deadly Hands of Kung Fu, and they're showing you this map of Manhattan, and it's in the brightest, like, tennis ball yellow or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay. And they're showing you all the territories with different characters. I'm like, shouldn't the gangs have different colors on this map? Why is everyone yellow? You don't know who's changing, taking control.
Yeah, you should have a color for each of the different gangs if it's a gang war.
And I'm just like, what are we doing here? It makes no sense. I'm like, I'm thinking like Crips and Bloods, make it red and blue. Or if there's 20 gangs, make the 20 gangs. And as one gang gets wiped out, you change their color to whoever beat them.
Yep. But
no, it's pure yellow. So there's that. That's just another I hate thing.
If all the gangs are working together, that makes sense. But if they're not, it's, yeah.
Yeah, I think that'll be the final thing. There'll be a new Kingpin. That's my guess.
Or maybe the old one will come back.
That could happen too. Without any spoilers, I'm thinking that's the way they're probably going to go.
He's going to come back at some point. Why not now?
Yeah. He's got to. He doesn't work as the mayor.
He's no longer the mayor. That's Luke Cage.
Luke Cage, correct. Yeah, he's got to do something.
Kingpin's over at the Fall of X stuff right now.
Yes, he is.
So we'll see what happens. All right, on to the other publishers.
Yes.
You want to go first?
Sure. Okay, there's only three that I want to talk about because there's a lot of cuts I'm making here based on my color scheme. I see a lot of reds in some of the stuff I am cutting. Some got canceled anyways. But the three I'll talk about, the first one is the brand new number one. And it was good, but I don't know if everyone will enjoy it. It's Animal Pound, and it's from Boom, I think it is. And the writer on it is a writer that I typically don't read, Tom King.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so I'm like, I'll see what's going on here. You know, I want to read it. It's written well, but it's very dark. And I think Tom King's a dark person. I think he has a lot of demons in him, you know, and he lets it out in his writing and his treatment of characters.
Yeah.
So the best way I can describe it is imagine the movie Spartacus taking place in a pound for animals. That's like the first issue. So basically all these dogs and cats are caged up, you know, it's a pound, you know, there's rabbits. They show rabbits on the side, you know, the small furry animals. Mm-hmm. And one dog is being taken off. His name was Lucky, to be euthanized. And he's kind of like giving a speech to the other animals, you know, about, hey, you know, it's true. You know, he's like, you know, us cats and us dogs, you know, we instinctively fight each other. You know, we don't like each other. And, you know, we like to be petted. We look for the approval of the master. We like to do this, you know, and the cat, the way that cats behave. So he's going through all these things. He's like, but really, he's like, we're fighting, we're striving just to get the rub on the nose, or that hopefully they'll remember to leave the food and water before they leave the house. And he's like, and then this is where we end up. And he's like, basically unifying the people. And so then a cat helps the dog escape. And so they start releasing all the animals, and they kind of take over and fight the people in charge of the pound and take over the facility. That's literally what happens. But there's notes that, of course, things are going to go awry. And I think things are going to get really dark, because I get that feeling, because, you know, now that the handlers aren't there to give them food and water, all of a sudden the dogs and cats start looking at the rabbits. They look very tasty.
Yep.
That's what I'm getting the vibes of in here. So I think he's taking us down this beautiful path of like Spartacus, you know, freeing the slaves. And we're going to fight our oppressors only to be slaughtered. That's where I think this is headed. But I've only read the first issue.
Well, and there's a certain aspect of the animals are animals. They are what they are.
Yes. Yeah. There's the parables about the snake, you know.
How can and
you
the expect scorpion it to, or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
How can you expect it to be anything other than that? So
yep.
There's that. Yeah.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
It's written well, but it's also very dark. So if you're going to pick it up, just realize it's probably going to turn into a really dark and morbid comic. And I got like this sad feeling and uneasy feeling when I was reading it. Do I need that? Maybe, maybe not. That's where I am. But it was written well. That's the weird thing, you know? I was like, huh.
That may be why I need it all the less.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be depressed. Let's not do this.
Exactly. Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah. So but how about you?
All right.
I'm guessing Star Trek.
No, actually, decided not to pick Star Trek, because I've talked about that quite a bit.
Ah!
Since I've caught up on my reading, I figured I'd actually lean a little further back.
Okay.
For what we got. So technically, this didn't come out in December, I think, any of it. But I finally read Astrobots.
Oh, what did you think of it?
It was interesting, because it isn't Transformers by a long shot.
It's very different.
But it's got kind of a similar vibe to it.
Yes. Yes, I agree. It's weird. It's completely different, but you can kind of almost feel that the guy was a fan or something.
Well, I think Simon Furman's written some of the Transformer comics and stuff over the years.
That makes sense. Okay. So
that was some of it. But these Astrobots, they were sent ahead to prep a planet for human colonists.
Yes.
And from the first issue, it's like, I got a feeling we're going to wind up with two factions. They're not exactly going to be Autobots and Decepticons, but they're going to be at odds with each other. And I was kind of suspecting the quote-unquote good guys, which was Atlas, I think, was the head of the city.
Oh, yeah.
Probably not going to turn out to be the good guys. It just, I mean, that's an easy writing decision to make.
The person in power, yeah.
You know, and then it turns out that Atlas City wasn't all it was cracked up to be. By the second issue, it's like, I don't know what the dark secret is, but there's clearly one. And it's got something to do with this failed city in the dead zone, whatever that is.
Yep.
By the third issue, we find out kind of what the dark secret is. It's like, I wasn't totally surprised. I didn't see exactly that, but it does kind of sort of make sense. And then things are heating up in the fourth issue for the big finale in the fifth. And I think they pretty much landed the ending.
Yes.
But it was ending the opening story, but there's clearly more they want to tell. And I liked it. I thought it was pretty good art. I just don't know that it's essential reading that I've got to come back for more, but I'd certainly consider it.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I'll come back for more.
I understand exactly what you mean, because when I was reading, I was like, oh, this is pretty decent. This is pretty good. You know, that was the first comic I got from that massive publisher. They used to be called Whatnot. I guess
Whatnot, yeah.
I don't know. They changed their name. Whatever.
After an entire comic, really?
Yeah. I'm like, okay, we're doing
bad
this.
Marketing.
Yeah, but it was a good read, and they were launching a whole toy line. I don't buy toys, so I don't know if they're out there. Maybe they are. I don't know if they're popular. And I think based on how the toys do, we will or will not see this property again in the future. But it was written well, and I enjoyed it. I don't, like, that's where I am. I don't know if they'll go back to it. And if they do go back to it, if I'm in the mood to read, I'll buy it.
It ended on a note implying they're going back to it.
Yeah, they totally left it like, we will be coming back.
And I think on the toy line, the mistake they made was in the additional material at the end. They have one page where they're showing off one of the toys that was in every issue.
Yep.
It should have been showing us a different toy each issue.
I agree. Something different to show the whole line.
We should have seen Apollo in the second one, Athena in the third, or something like that. You know, there were a couple of other key characters that should have toys, if they're going to do toys at least.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I could see why a lot of people were maybe excited about it and stuff. And again, I liked it, but again, I could see some of the stuff kind of coming. Not the exact to the letter sort of thing, but just the general feel of where the story would go, and it went there. But part of that is I've read a lot of stories, so I'm not too surprised by that either.
I know exactly where you're coming from, so.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Was that your second pick?
Or that first? Was my first.
First. Okay.
What's your second?
On to my second. I'm going to go with a Geiger Ground Zero number two. There are only two issues of this. So there's the first issue that I talked about last time. This is the second issue. This makes me think that Geoff Johns is really going to be sticking with indie comics going forward. I just have a feeling. And Gary Frank's doing this with him here. I know he's doing some covers over at Marvel, but I don't know if he'll be back. But it's the future of the Geigerverse, showing you, introducing the characters, fleshing out the character, the main character who's like the radioactive guy that we saw from the first Geiger comics. Mm-hmm. And what was funny is he always had these batons, and I thought he was like a Daredevil character. You know, he had this like nuclear stuff, but he's using these batons to whack people around. And I thought it was so cool because I didn't even think about it, but now I'm like, duh, they're not billy clubs. They're control rods.
I was going to say, control rods is where I would have gone with that.
Yeah. And I'm just like, duh, why did I not get that? But yeah, so basically to keep himself in check, because before he got the control rods, he would just explode and release periodically,
mm-hmm.
and you know, wipe people out, innocents out. So now he's able to control that a little bit, which was kind of cool. So I think this whole universe is fun. I think the creative teams that they have on the future books are fun. I am on board for the Geigerverse because I'm cutting a lot of other indie stuff. So I do have space here in this area.
That makes sense. Cool.
Yeah, but it was a good read.
Awesome. All right. My second pick.
Yes.
Is Scarlet Couture Munich Files, or the Munich Files.
Never heard of that.
This is by Titan.
Ah.
It was a 5-issue miniseries. It's the second one. It's by Des Taylor. And it's a kind of a spy action story. I mean, imagine kind of a mashup of like a James Bond kind of a story with a bit of a Charlie's Angel kind of a thing. And again, movie spy action adventure kind of stuff.
Okay.
I'd read the previous volume, the first one back when it came out a few years ago. I didn't recall much of it other than it was fun. I enjoyed it. It's got kind of an animated style to it. And by which I mean it's got kind of flat but good coloring.
Okay.
And it looks like you would see in kind of traditional animation or whatever. Where I think they went a little awry was they used CG for some of the vehicles and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So you've got what looks like a very CG-looking pickup truck or whatever, and you've got some flat animated characters kind of sitting in there, and it's like it doesn't quite fit right. It wasn't bad, but it was a little jarring to me at least.
Okay.
They ended the story cleanly, with a springboard for more adventures, and they teased an upcoming Scarlet Couture Investigations title. Again, I'm trying to cut back on my comics a little, so I don't know if I'll get that or not. But it's got a almost, I don't want to say a 60s action-adventure kind of a vibe to it, because it's set in the modern day and stuff. But it's more the, again, action-adventure, spy kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was trying to pull it up just to see what you're talking about. I just went on to, you know, Google and just searched. And I remember seeing that comic solicited. I didn't pick it up. I thought originally it was a Hard Case Crimes, but it's definitely not that.
It's not, but it's adjacent.
Yeah, that, but it looks just like the Hard Case books, like that old noir type, mm-hmm. you know, almost like that honeypot type stuff, you know, like when you see the covers. You
Blood
know?
Honey and stuff.
Blood Honey, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Along those lines.
Yeah. So it looks really cool. I'm glad that was good.
So it was interesting. Cool. If you're looking for that kind of a thing, I think this probably flew under a lot of people's radar. It was 5 issues, and again, it landed the ending with a opening for more stories to be told.
Very cool.
And intent for more stories to be told.
Nice. Nice. All right. I'm debating on which way I should go. One way. Okay. I'm just going to talk about 3 comics in general and just tell you where my head is on this. Okay. I got Transformers number 3. I got Duke number 1, and I got G.I. Joe number 302. Okay, so they're all tied together. You know, basically G.I. Joe, Transformers, all in this
mm-hmm.
universe. And which, by the way, I just saw the Transformer movie, and you know, they had that little G.I. Joe tease at the end of it. The Transformer movie with the animal-looking Transformers.
Oh, Beast World or whatever.
Beast World, yeah, that was it. So anyways, so I think that's what they're really trying to move to. Let's tie these properties together. I don't know how much they really go together, but I will tell you, okay, with G.I. Joe 301 and 302. They were fine, but it picked up right where it left off, and I was never reading it before. So I felt like this is a book for longtime G.I. Joe readers. I vaguely remember the characters. I read them like, oh, I remember that guy. Remember that guy. I didn't care about the story. It wasn't fun for me. I'm probably cutting G.I. Joe. I got Duke number one, you know, Duke fighting a Decepticon. Not for me. It's just a character in the G.I. Joe world, and I just don't read it. And then the best of the bunch is probably Transformers, which I felt like issue two was the best, but issue one and three were just kind of like, okay. And you got Daniel Warren Johnson, who's doing it. And Daniel Warren Johnson, when he is doing his wrestling thing or he did his Wonder Woman thing, the art kind of grows on you over time. Mm-hmm. But when you're drawing like robots, that really scratchy, almost like his art style, I think really doesn't suit the Transformers, where I'm expecting to see a lot of angular and
I was
mechanical.
Gonna say, it sounds like it's got a more organic style, and that's not the book for it.
It's not. So I read it, and I'm just like, this is weird, and I'm not that big of a Transformers fan. I'm an okay Transformers fan. I'm Transformer light. So I think those are three books that I'm probably going to be cutting. They weren't bad, but I think if you're a hardcore fan, you might like Duke 1. I thought Duke 1 was better than G.I. Joe 302, and I think Transformers is decent. It's just the art. I feel like it's not suitable for the book. I don't know if I'll stay on it much more. I might give it an arc, or I might be out by issue next order form, whatever that is.
Yeah.
So that's where I am. And that's like three comics encapsulated. The one I did like was Rumpus Room, but I talked about that last time, so I didn't want to talk about it again.
That makes sense.
And bore everyone.
I mean, I get why they're trying to do a kind of a Hasbro verse or whatever, and I don't fault them for that, but some of their properties I just don't think make sense in the same world.
They really don't. It just feels so separate, different, that you almost have to force them together in a non-logical way.
Yeah.
And to me, that just feels, it feels weird to me. I'm just like, even when they did that G.I. Joe tease at the end, I'm like, my wife and I looked at each other, she's like, G.I. Joe? I'm like, yeah, why? What the? Where the hell is this coming from? All right.
Well, and particularly in the movies, because they've done two movies and they didn't go over all that well. They weren't bad. I enjoyed them, but
it just
seems
like
great.
Out of nowhere, out of left field, you're like, okay, all right, cool.
Well, if you've got one franchise that they've done, what, seven or eight Transformer movies?
Yeah.
Why not use it to jumpstart your other franchise?
And I think Hasbro, they do Battleship. Remember the Battleship movie?
I haven't seen the Battleship movie, but doing a movie from the Battleship game just seems like an uphill battle.
Yeah, it's weird. I was like, if they start having Battleship go into this too, I'm out. This is just too weird for me.
Well, Battleship, not that I've seen the movie, but conceptually that sort, I mean, I can't imagine what I would have turned that property into based on the game, the tabletop game. But I could see that potentially fitting in with G.I. Joe.
Transformers, yeah.
I cannot see either fitting in with Transformers.
No, they're just too different, so.
Yeah.
And I love Daniel Warren Johnson, but I think Daniel Warren Johnson draws people. He does not draw transforming robots. And that's not an insult to him. It's just what
it's
I think
a different skill set. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what he's suited.
There's some people who are really good at doing likenesses, and therefore licensed properties are good for them, but they can't really kind of create a consistent character on their own necessarily. I mean, some certainly can. And there are some that are really good with people. There are others that are really good with backgrounds or architecture, and not everybody's able to draw everything.
Exactly. Yep. That's where I am.
So. Yeah, interesting.
And I'm a Daniel Warren Johnson fan. I really am. So there's cool. That. All right. So what is your last pick?
My last pick is going to be Walking Dead.
Ah.
In so much as I've caught up on it. So I read, I don't know, about 10 issues or something like that.
Cool. Where are we in The Walking Dead?
We are just before the No Way Out story arc.
Okay, cool.
So we're at issue at about 79. So not quite halfway, but pretty close. In terms of the, 192 issues, 93 issue run?
Yeah. You know what would be crazy I just thought of? Imagine if Robert Kirkman gets to the end of doing these color issues of these comics, and then issue number 193 comes out. And he doesn't tell anyone, because that's a Kirkman thing to do.
Oh, if he just continues it for another issue or two?
Can you imagine? And he didn't say anything, and all the people have been like, I would have picked it up! Oh, that would be so funny, wouldn't it?
That would be hilarious. And the thing is, all he's really doing is adding color.
Yeah.
He's having color added to it. He's not doing the coloring. And he's got the cutting room floor and commentary at the end. So there's absolutely no reason, if he had an epilogue-ish kind of story to do, there's no reason he couldn't.
Yeah, he could go up
to 200 or something.
Yeah, 200? He could go for another 25, who knows? But, I mean, like, that would be just so funny if he's like, oh, here's the missing 7 issues, by the way. You should have picked it up in the color comics. And everyone's going to be like, ah! Now I got to buy new collected editions.
He ended where he did because that was going to be the end of the compendium or whatever.
Yeah.
Because it was trades that built into hardcovers. Hardcovers built into, I forget what, that built into the compendiums, or maybe the hardcovers built into the compendiums, whatever.
Yeah.
So he knew where he wanted to end it and why, just in terms of how it would collect. But it would be hilarious if he added another issue or two and stuff. I wouldn't put it past him.
And he is the guy who will do something like that. He'll surprise you.
Yeah.
He'll just throw something out, and he won't. He did it before, and no marketing, no solicited, just showed up in the stores. And the stores were like, what? Huh?
Well, and there were a few of those things that, because he's done it more than once, but if I can't pre-order it as somebody who doesn't go into the stores, I can't get it.
Yes. And people lose their minds over it. And I think it's awesome. And Eric is really great because he owns a shop, and Eric hooks us up.
Yeah, but I do think there's times where some people are doing some marketing moves or whatnot that, on the one hand, kind of cool. On the other hand, are counterproductive because there's an ingrained aspect of how comics are sold.
Yeah.
Not that there should be, but that there is.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, like, when Radiant Black went to the A and B, not covers, but issues.
Yes.
And then after one of those, it went from 25 A and B to 26 and 26.5. Because I think people didn't realize, because not every shop reads every book, so they don't realize something that looks like it's a variant cover is going to have a totally different interior. They were probably caught off guard and got upset, and understandably so.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine. I'm just curious to see what happens when it gets there. I'm not saying anything's going to happen. It's just he's the guy who would do it.
You're right. Anyone else, that's not going to happen. But with Kirkman, you never know. He is exactly the person who would do it.
Yeah, and I would just, I'd almost bust up laughing and just be like, you're awesome, Kirkman. Thanks for doing it again. Thank you, sir.
I just think it'd be a hard thing to tackle. He'd have to have something really good to tackle on.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it'd have to be like, oh, this type of thing happened. I don't know what he would do, but...
Well, flip side, he's been kind of rereading the stuff as he's putting them back out, presumably, so... He's probably got a couple of ideas kicking around.
He's got to. And this was his bestseller ever, and it's a popular franchise, and people are going to... People who bought compendiums bought the comics. People who...
Yeah. People double-dipped on this.
And some of them triple-dipped, and when he comes out with the new hardcovers or color, people are going to buy the stuff again. And so he has a winning hand here, and he can just keep reselling the same material. And if he does it to where he's like, oh, and by the way, here's this, everyone's going to get re-engaged and have to buy all the new stuff, jump back on. Oh, I got to find out where this is going. This was awesome. That could be reinvigorate the market.
Well, I've been double dipping on the series. I mean, I've got all but, I think, the first 6 individual issues. I got the first trade or whatever of the original run.
Yeah, I got comics and compendiums. And so I figured I was going to get hardcovers, but I'll wait until they come out in color, something different.
Now, the other thing that would be interesting, and I don't know if it would work or not, but after this is all said and done, wait another year or so, he could come out with another version where he did basically computer-generated art for the issue.
Oh, yeah.
And if you basically got models for the characters, do it through, you know, Blender, Daz, Poser, I mean, there's half a dozen different things you could use. Not only could he redo the comic, he could be leveraging that to turn that into an animated, faithful adaptation.
Oh, yeah, which could be really cool.
And that would be insane.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, imagine if it's like, okay, you know, here are the issues in what it would look like if it was, you know, quasi-photorealistic or whatever. I mean, doing it in a way that still worked as comics, because photos don't, but you know what I mean. But to then turn that into an animated, it's like, okay, here's the trade, and oh yeah, here's the first DVD or Blu-ray, or, you know, what have you. That would be wild.
People would be like, whoa! Yeah, that could be cool. So
we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Him adding another issue to the end would be funny.
Fingers crossed. I'm hoping it happens.
I hadn't even considered it, but I can't think of anyone else in the industry who would do that other than him.
Yeah, that just popped into my mind. I'm like, that seems so Kirkman.
It does. All right, we've been talking for a while, so what do you say we kick the questions out to the Friday episode and end it here.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Cool.
Recording clips for the preview spotlight episodes is easy, and we've got an open submission policy for these episodes. Please send in clips to support the comics you love as often as you can. If you'd like to get email reminders for the preview spotlight episodes, you can join the emailing list on the main page of the comicbookpage.com website. The deadline is typically the second Saturday of the month at 9 a.m. Check the main page of the website for more information and the exact deadline for the next preview spotlight.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.